Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every week, except for this week where we're here twice. It is Valentine's Day, and what better way to spend it with my good friend Tim McLeod talking baseball. We've got a really fun show planned for you. It's going to be a quick show. We're going to finish up our outfield preview that we started last Sunday, and we're going to talk about Tim's labor draft that he had last night. And then, I don't know, probably talk about whatever we want to talk about. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do that probably via Twitter. The best way, I've seen Tim McLeod out there a lot recently. So at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC for the great Tim McLeod, or myself, at Rich Wilson P361, at Rich Wilson P361. If you want to support us, the best way to do that is either go to iTunes and leave us a review, or go out to prospect361.com. and visit one of our sponsors, Steiner Sports, S-T-E-I-N-E-R. Steiner Sports is one of our recent affiliate marketing programs that we have set up. You simply go there, click on the link. It's right there on the right side, and you get 15% off if you use the code prospect361.com. So go to Steiner Sports, S-T-E-I-N-E-R.com, and put in prospect361 on the code on the way out, and you get 15% off. And then all kinds of memorabilia out there. Baseball's coming up. Be good to give a gift. If you want to support us, just put in that code when you go out there. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Tim, happy Valentine's Day. You want to be my Valentine's today?
Well, I was going to say you didn't get my flowers, Rich. Like, what's up with that?
I got Lori some flowers, and she got me some candy, so we're good. So
excellent, Rich. That is excellent. I had one of my moments last night. Can I tell you a quick story, Rich? You'll like this one.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, I had the labor draft last night, and I figured I always go out and I get my walking in every day, religiously, 7 days a week. So I figured I'm going to treat myself, okay? So I ordered a pizza, and, you know, I'll pick it up for 6:30. Chicken, mushrooms, and double cheese.
Wow. What kind of cheese?
Just double.
Double cheese. Okay. So not a specific kind of cheese, but twice the amount of cheese.
No. Okay. I want to be plugged good, okay? Like, I'm not fooling around with this pizza, right?
Okay.
So anyhow, I go for my walk, and, hey, I'm up to six laps now at Walmart. Things are getting better.
Good.
But anyhow, I finish my walk. Yeah, I get to the pizza place, okay? And I stroll in the door, and this young kid's working, and he looks at me. I say, yeah. He says, pick up, and I said, yeah, pizza for Tim. So the kid runs around the rack, and it's ready. He puts it down on the counter, and he says to me, is that on debit? And what I did was I pulled my card out, put it under the pizza box, and said, well, it's on debit now. And the kid laughed.
Oh, he laughed. Oh, very well played,
he
Mr.
laughed.
McLeod. Did he give it to you for free?
He almost, no, he didn't laugh that hard, Rich.
All right.
But
most
kids just look at me with a blank look on their face when I do something like that, eh? Like the kid at McDonald's, when they say, is that for here? And I say, well, I'd prefer to sit down. I don't want to tie up your counter space. You know, most of them just look at me with blank expressions. This kid actually laughed. I was impressed.
Okay, so let's drill down into this pizza. So first of all, is this like a family-owned pizza place or a chain pizza, like a Pizza Hut type of place? Or like what kind of pizza joint are we talking about? Oh, Domino's.
We're talking Domino's.
Yeah, they probably, because like in New Jersey where I lived for years, I mean, there was a pizza joint owned by the mob on every corner, so, and they had really good pizza, but you don't want to stay there too long, Tim. But so the Domino's pizza, I hear the pizza's gotten a lot better at Domino's in recent years.
Well, they're a lot better than the ones I attempt to make. I got no complaints whatsoever. But we're still 4-2 on Chinese restaurants over pizza places, Rich.
That is remarkable. In a little tiny town like that, why do you have any idea why there's so many Chinese restaurants?
Well, people like Chinese food. That's all I can say. I made my own for years, and I still will once in a while. I haven't made any in a while because cooking for one, making Chinese, yeah, like how many nights in a row do you want Chinese food, Rich? You know what I mean?
I hear you. I'm not a huge fan of the Chinese food, Sammy. I got to tell you, it's okay for me.
Oh, okay. What do you prefer? You prefer a brisket, don't you?
No, I don't eat a whole lot of red meat. I will tell you, Timmy, there is a great Indian restaurant that's two blocks away from my house that's called Copper.
Okay.
It is outstanding. Outstanding. And we love going to that place.
Do they serve like venison and... Oh, not that type of Indian food?
No, not that kind of place. I'm talking the other Indian place and
okay.
You know, curries and stuff like that. I don't like Chinese food, but I do like Thai food. So I like going out to a Thai restaurant. I like the curry and things like that. And, you know, I eat a lot of salads, Timmy, a lot of salads. So I'm boring that way, you know. So, unfortunately, I don't eat a whole lot of red meat. So.
Okay. That's my problem, Rich. I'm a carnivore.
Yeah.
Green is not my favorite color, even though it has to be. I'm forcing myself to eat more salads, but my favorite food in a green would be a gummy bear. Jelly bean close second.
I thought of you on the airplane last night. They gave me a little bag of gummy bears, so I ate them in your honor, Timmy. So speaking of last night, Timmy, you had a very special evening where you participated in your first labor draft.
Yes, and representing Prospect 361. Very, very happy to be doing that. And I had a lot of fun with it. Hey, I got a lot of players that I liked. Now all I got to do is deliver in the manner to which I am betting on them delivering, and life will be good.
So, Timmy, I try to be honest with you. I mean, I tell you when I like your draft, and I tell you when I don't like your draft. Timmy, love your draft. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think you follow a lot of the strategies that we've been talking about on the show. You went heavy with outfielders. You waited on third base. You waited on shortstop. A little bit on shortstop. Yeah. But I thought you did a bang-up job.
Well, thank you very much, Rich. I got off to the start I wanted, and then I was hoping for Tommy Pham with the fourth pick, and it didn't happen, so I had to switch gears, and I'm real happy that I had a plan B and it came into play. And the other thing I did that was sort of sneaky and it worked out, and it goes back to middle infield, is I drafted Gleyber Torres fairly late to fill my middle infield slot. Well, I'm not convinced that Torres is going to have the job. So what I did was I drafted backwards. I drafted Torres for my bench, and then I picked up Freddie Galvis in my minors, and I can switch them out. So I drafted backwards, but because I thought the depth at middle infield would be there, it allowed me that option. So I thought that was pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's really good. So let's go through it. So Timmy had the first overall pick, and he went with some guy named Mike Trout. I think that was a pretty good pick, Timmy. Congratulations there.
I thought you dissed me for not taking Altuve.
Well, you know, it's in our mock draft coming up on Sunday. I don't know what happened, Tim. I guess my cursor wasn't in the right spot, and I picked the second slot as opposed to the first slot. So, well. But anyway, let's go through your first 10 picks, and I'm going to ask you first what you were thinking as you were going through this, and then I'll give you kind of my feedback. And then what Mike Trout won, Steven Strasburg, too, pretty interesting.
Yep.
I know you don't like Steven Strasburg. I do. Andrew Benintendi, 3. Mm-hmm. Carlos Martinez, 4. Chris Davis, 5. One of the guys that Timmy loves a lot is Ozzie Albies, 6. Edwin Diaz, of course, another Timmy big pitcher that he likes, reliever. Rafael Devers at 8. Nomar Mazzaro, another big Tim favorite. Josh Bell, and also in 11, you went with Trevor Bauer. So guys that you really like, you went with. So tell me what you were thinking as you're kind of going through the draft after the number one pick.
probably the toughest decision I had was Steven Strasburg. Benintendi was there. That was a no-brainer for me. But I really, really like Alex Bregman. And I was hemming and hawing. Do I go three outfielders in a row and skip the pitcher? And my gut kept telling me, Bregman Benintendi. But then my brain kicked in and said, no, you got to get yourself an ace pitcher. And you're not going to get Bregman. Get over it, Tim, and move on. So I took Strasburg, who I thought was the best option as a starter. And it worked out well because over the course of the next two rounds, like 10 starting pitchers went off the board. They all disappeared pretty well by the end of round four. So I'm glad I went with my brain and not my heart on that one.
So if you would have gone with Bregman with the second slot and then been attending three outfielders to start off with, you would have then come back with two pitchers. Carlos Martinez was there because you got him. Then it looks like the next pitchers in line would have been Chris Archer, Jose Quintana, Aaron Nolan, James Paxton, Jose Berrios type of player, Shohei Ohtani. That type of player. So, Timmy, I think it worked out really well because you have to have a guy like Strasburg over those other guys.
Well, yeah, definitely. And what it did was when it came back for my next set of picks, it allowed me to jump in on the second tier and get Martinez. And like I said, I wanted Tommy Pham because I wanted to shore up my stolen bases. But when he wasn't there, then, like, hey, Chris Davis has hit 40 home runs back-to-back seasons. Why isn't he going to do it again? So I went with the big power bat in Davis and changed my plan of attack and decided I would look at stolen bases a bit later on, targeted two guys, and they actually fell to me in rounds 12 and 13.
So let's keep going, Timmy. So you're thinking again on Albies. You were a little light on – well, not really. Trout's going to get you 20 and Benintendi 20, so you're sitting with 40 stolen bases. Timmy, you still here? You still there, buddy?
Yeah, I just lost you for a sec, Rich. Okay.
Okay. So you got Trout with 20 stolen bases, Andrew Benintendi with stolen bases. But, of course, Timmy, you want 800 stolen bases because that's who you are. So you go with Ozzie Albies because you believe he's 30-plus stolen bases.
Yeah, I caught a little flack from some people on going too early on Albies. But his NFBC ADP, I believe, is down to 123. And it's rising. I think single-handedly I'm driving up the value on Ozzie Albies this year, Rich. But I wouldn't have got him had I waited. And when I look at second base, the next second baseman off the board is like quite a few rounds later. I wanted to have that second base position shored up. So I said, man, Ozzie Albies it is, and I'll take the 30 there to go with the 20 and 20, which gives me 70. So I've got a base to work with.
Now, one of the advantages of picking first is you get Trout, but one of the disadvantages is it's 30 picks before you come around again. Yeah. And guys who, you know, maybe there when you get back or maybe not, if you want them, you got to take them, unfortunately, 30 picks too early. And you can't blame a person sitting on, you know, picking 1, 2, or 3, or 13, 14, 15, getting a guy a little early, because if you want them, you got to take them early.
Well, you have two choices. You either take them or you let somebody else take them. And depending on how you value that player, that's what it boils down to. Pretty simple.
Now, the first interesting pick I thought here, Albies, okay, so you took him a round or two early. So what, I thought it was a good pick. The thing I really liked here, Timmy, is your pick of Rafael Devers in round 8. Now, look, Rafael Devers, I don't know if he's going to break out this year. I mean, I'm hoping for you, Timmy, he does. But when he does, this is a guy that can hit. He's got tremendous power, not any speed. This is a guy that could really be a monster player. I hope for you it's this year. No one really knows if it's going to be this year, next year, or the year after. But it's going to happen. And when it does, it's going to be pretty, pretty good. So I've got my fingers crossed, Timmy, it's this year. I thought it was a really, really good pick.
Well, thanks, Rich. I was looking at Kyle Seager and I was looking at Devers. And, you know, we were down to Moustakas, Suarez. We were solidly heading into that. What I like, you know, Moustakas is definitely a second tier third baseman, but he's unsigned, so who knows? You know what I mean? But after that, we were dropping down a notch, and I just thought it was the right time to go with one of those two guys. And Seager went two picks before me. Devers was there. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Nomar Mazara, Timmy, now you're way higher on him than me. I know that the 100 RBIs, we talked about it last week. I think that's so team dependent. You just don't know. Young player, chance to continue to emerge and so forth. But I respect you, Timmy, because he's your guy. He's one of your guys, and you're going to get him. And by gosh, you went off and got him. So huge kudos there, Timmy, for sticking with your guns. Me, I have such low character, Timmy. I don't necessarily always do what I say I'm going to do. So.
Well, the other thing I was trying to do, and it worked out for me. I was trying to force the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I saw Mazara was my fourth outfielder.
Yep.
As a fourth outfielder, I think he's pretty solid.
Yep.
You know, and by going a bit early on him, it forced some outfield picks a bit earlier as well, allowing me to get players, at least I perceive it, allowed me to get players I wanted a little bit later.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, I think it's a good pick. I think forcing the outfield is always a good strategy because we know, as we're going to find out tonight, it does get pretty thin quickly. Josh Bell, 10th pick, an interesting play there, Timmy. You took him before Carlos Santana. You took him before Ryan Zimmerman. You took him before Justin Bour. I think it was a ballsy pick, to be honest with you. Again, another guy like a Rafael Devers that he can hit. He's got power. He hasn't shown it yet in the big leagues. But if he does, Timmy, it's going to be really, really good. Another guy that I think one day that will happen. Hope it for you. It happens this year.
Well, yeah. And I started looking at first base and, you know, it's a batting average league. So Carlos Santana, a lot of the luster sort of falls off that one because of the batting average.
Good point. Yep. Good point.
And Ryan Zimmerman, like, man, he had a great year. Okay. But is he going to stay healthy 2 years in a row? I'm not going to make that bet if I've got another choice. And after that, you got Gurriel, and there's some choices there. But I thought most of the other choices I had warts that maybe Josh Bell doesn't. So I went with him.
And you got Bradley. Then you go Trevor Bauer, which, again, you're big on Trevor Bauer. I'm a little worried about that, but that's okay. I mean, tell me you went with your convictions. Then you go Bradley Zimmerman, Orlando Arcia. Love that pick. Kendrys Morales, who talked about him. I know you're a big fan of that. Then you go with your second closer with Zach Britton, knowing that Zach Britton's probably going to start at least on the DL for the first, 3 months, but you got an answer to that later on. Then you go with your first catcher, Austin Hedges. I like the fact that you waited on catching. That's fine. Another guy that you really like is Miles Mikolas, 17. Then you go middle reliever with Addison Reed, potentially closer there. Then Gleyber Torres, Christian Vasquez with your second catcher, Eduardo Rodriguez, who I think, again, another guy that is going to break out at some point, going to start probably on the DL to begin the first 2 or 3 weeks. That's okay. Austin Hayes, love that pick. And then kind of finish up with some other guys. I love the Walker Buehler pick. The Michael Givens pick is your kind of handcuff with Zach Britton. Like that, Timmy. And, of course, you finish up with Charlie Tilson. Because what team would not be complete without Charlie Tilson on it?
Well, I couldn't do it, Rich. I just couldn't avoid it, okay? Bregman, I can pass on. Tilson,
understand. So in that group, Timmy, what pick were you give me a couple of picks that you're the happiest with that you just like felt really good about picking those guys up?
I was ecstatic to get Torres where I got him in combination with Freddie Galvis. So I'm covered until Torres is up with the Yankees if he's not up right from square one. I really like Walker Buehler in round 26. I was really surprised that he stayed there.
Love it.
You know,
love it.
He's going to be a very good pitcher. And, you know, Brian Anderson around 27.
Love it.
If he has the job, I could have 20, 25 home runs sitting in my minors. To be honest with you, I don't have a pick from this draft that disappoints me. I hope that doesn't sound egotistical or anything. Even Trevor Williams, I like the upside potential based on what we saw last year. The Trevor Williams, I got the guys I wanted, and I got them pretty well where I wanted them. Everything, the only disappointment, if I can call it one, is the fact that I stayed away from Bregman and took Strasburg. But that's heart versus head, and I made the right move, but it's one of those ones, you know. Geez, I like Bregman, but it wasn't the smart move. How's that?
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, so if I analyze your team, I mean, I just love the first 10 picks. I mean, I really do. I think you went two strong pitchers up at the top. You got a good, solid closer. You got power. You got speed. You got the best player in the game. I love the Orlando Arcia pick. And the thing I like about your team, the team could stink, Tim. It really could.
Yeah.
But there's mm-hmm. so many guys that have upside that it could be one that runs away with this league very, very easily. And I think you did not go with a bunch of old guys, maybe Kendrys Morales, about the only guy that it's like, okay, you know what you're going to get there. So you went with a lot of guys that have upside and not risk guys either, right? You can even call Nomar Mazara. We got 2 years in the major leagues. We kind of know what he is. And that's probably
yep.
only going to get better. And I kind of like that you didn't jump out, for instance, and take Acuna. I mean, you know, you could have done that, but that to me would have been risky. But taking an Albies and a Mazzaro, I mean, these are all guys with upsides. I applaud you for that. And that's why I really, really like the draft.
Well, even with closers, I started looking at what was happening with closers. And I made a decision that rather I wanted Zimmer and Arcia for the stolen bases. There were still some closer options, but I just decided that, you know, Zach Britton apparently is ahead of schedule. They're talking now 2 months, even 3 months. So I got half a year out of Britton, and between Addison Reed, Kyle Barraclough, Michael Givens, I got to find a way to get 5 or 10 saves out of that group, I think, or at least I'm betting on it. And the other thing that I like is the fact that I've got two players that are going on the DL right away, and one of my targets to replace him on the DL is AJ Puck, who I had in my queue all night, but I just decided as soon as I picked up Britton and then Erod, why pick up Puck now? I'll leave him, take a chance, and when I DL him, I'll put AJ Puck in there again. So that should help for my second half.
So the only thing I can be critical of here, Tim, because you know I gotta be critical of something,
yeah.
otherwise I you
well,
know I'm not doing my job. Do you have
well,
enough starting
course.
Pitcher? Do you have enough starting pitcher? You start off strong with Strasburg and Martinez, and then you know you start off and you like Trevor Bauer a lot, so you get three really solid starters. Then
mm-hmm.
Then you get a little risky here, Timmy. Miles Mikolas, you
oh,
like
yeah.
him. Hasn't pitched in the major leagues in a long time. Eduardo Rodriguez going to start the year on the DL.
Yep.
Where's your next starter?
My next starter is still on the waiver wire, Rich.
So, I mean, that's the only thing is and the one thing that Tim's a good drafter. For those of you who have not listened to the show a lot, Tim's a good drafter, but Tim is evil on the waiver wire. it's just no fun. And I'm assuming that's what you're banking on, that you're going to be able to outmaneuver people on the waiver wire with pitchers, because they always seem to surface early in the season.
Yep. Yeah, they do. And when I DL the two guys, I want Puck and Erod for the second half as a stash. And I'll be looking at another starting pitcher that I can put in. The first guy that gets off to a hot start, I'm going to own him on one of those two DL situations, Rich, and go from there. And you can't have everything. And I'm setting myself up, I think, by hopefully if I get Puck, between Puck and Eduardo Rodriguez, that's a nice boost for the second half. And if I have to run middle relievers for the first half, I'm okay with that as long as I can make up the ground at some point in time, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think it's good. I mean, yeah, I'm looking in the 29th round. Yeah, you could have drafted an Adam Wainwright or Colin McHugh.
Right.
But, I mean, come on. There's got to be somebody there that's got more upside than that. I mean, Adam Wainwright's been awful the last 2 or 3 years. And what makes us think that he's going to, you know, have a, I mean, he could, I mean, anybody can get lucky, but his better days are behind him. So why not go with some upside there? And I think that's a really interesting drafting strategy that you took.
Well, yeah, it's a long season. And like I said, of all the drafts that I have done over the years, this is probably the one that I am the most proud of, Rich, because it just seemed like everything fell into peace, and I'm just real happy with the results. Hey, I could finish 15th, but I don't care. I'm real happy right now, and that's what counts, right?
I think you should be. So, Timmy, out of all these guys that we've talked about, give me one or two guys that you really, really think are going to just blow up this year that you got on your team. In a good way, by the way. In a good way, blow up.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have anybody over 240, so I think I'm okay there.
I have two guys that I think, Timmy, that you drafted have a real chance to blow up this year, but I'll save mine until I hear your two guys.
My two guys, Orlando Arcia is one, and the other is Austin Hayes.
Timmy, you suck. Those are my two guys. I should have gone first. we spent way too much time together.
Yeah, I got to guess the player right. I'm putting an X on the calendar. I'm in the kitchen right now. There's an X on the calendar, okay, for today. I finally got one right.
I mean, RC, if they play him, which, you know, was so frustrating last year in that second half when they were playing Eric Sogard. It just drove me insane. And I just think Austin Hayes, he's in the right ballpark. The Orioles are going to stink. They're going to throw him out there. I think it's – I mean, he might not see a whole lot of them in April, but he's – I think, folks, if you can get him in the 22nd round – I got him on my NFBC team, so I speak – from doing what I preach, Timmy, and I just think he's a guy that you should try to get on your team, and I really like that pick, especially as late as you got him.
Well, yeah, you know, how long is Joey Ricard going to hold him off?
Yeah,
there's an opportunity, and it's the same like Brian Anderson. He could be another player. You know, you're looking at for your reserve rounds. You're looking at a player that could pop 25 homers this year very easily, I believe. And if you can get him for a bench slot, pick him up.
So you said a couple of times your minor league roster. I'm assuming you meant to say your reserve or bench roster. There isn't a minor league squad, is there?
No. I play in too many dynasty leagues. I speak fluent Dianese, but I'm not doing real good with that redrafty.
Okay.
So.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something because you said that. Timmy, let's just talk generally about overall draft. And I'm struck by the first round and now seeing so many drafts out there in the draft that I was in. The first round is pretty much set. I mean, it's Trout, Altuve, Kershaw, Turner, Arenado, Blackman, Goldschmidt, Stanton, Betts, Harper, Scherzer, Sale, Machado. I've seen Bryant go instead of Machado, Corey Kluber, and Carlos Correa. I mean, almost to a player, that's the way it's going.
Well, yeah, and you know what? When you get from picks 3 through to about pick 10, it's all the same players, okay? They're just intermingled. You pick your poison how you want. And the back end is pretty well the same because you're looking at Scherzer, Sale, Kluber, and like you said, Machado or Bryant. They're, you know, it's – the first round is other than – shuffling the deck a little bit, I think the bodies are pretty much well-defined.
I've seen Francisco Lindor go in the first round, of Carlos Correa in the second round, and I've seen Judge go in a couple of first rounds, but I'm with you. I mean, it's Trout and Altuve, and then some mixture of Kershaw, Turner, Arenado, Blackman, Goldschmidt in some order. And then you're there at the end trying to hope that Mookie Betts falls to you. And then if he doesn't, then you go, I got to get one of the pitchers. And that's generally is what's happening. So if you're in that 11, 12, 13, 14 slot, you're probably going to take a pitcher as your first guy off the board.
Yeah, unless you go early on a Lindor or possibly Freddie Freeman, one of the first basemen. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But, you know, how do you fault somebody, Rich, for taking, say, Stanton third or Betts third or Trey Turner third or Arenado. You can't fault any of those picks as far as I'm concerned because they're all solid players. Some of them deliver a little bit differently categorically, but other than that, you know, they're all good picks.
Yeah, if it were me and I had the third pick, I'd probably go Goldschmidt. Just call me old school Timmy. I'd probably go there because he's still stealing bases. And
right.
He just covers all the categories. I would probably go there, but I'm okay with Garrett Kershaw, I guess. You know, I've never taken a pitcher that high before. I mean, Kershaw, you do have to worry the last couple of years, Timmy. It's, you know, he's been injured. So is his back going to hold up? I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. You're not concerned at all about the news that broke last night. Actually, it broke round about the time we were drafting that Arizona is putting in a humidor. Did you hear that?
I did. I heard that. And we know that hurt in Colorado a little bit. But the last I looked, I mean, Charlie Blackman's got tremendous power there. And Nolan Arenado hits 40 home runs. And I doubt they do that in Wrigley Field if that was their home park. So I don't know, Timmy. So instead of 35 home runs, they see it 31 home runs, 32 home runs. I'll still take that in the speed and the batting average and all the other goodness that comes with them.
Yeah, I think where it might make more of a difference is on the not the star players like Goldschmidt and Tomas, but it'll be a little bit on some of the fringier players. I think will affect a bit more, but it could be interesting from a pitching point of view as it ties crank Tyon Walker up a bit.
Well, you know, I mean, I have him on my NFBC team, and I have him on a lot of other dynasty leagues. So I love the pitcher. I love the moxie of Tyon Walker. And again, another guy that I think one year will pull it all together and be that kind of number two starter, maybe even a little bit better than that. He's somehow been able to stay healthy. This is an incredibly athletic kid. So he's just got to get his mechanics all working together. His great arm. I just love it. The other thing, Timmy, in round nine, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm looking there at Ronald Acuna, and I'm sorry, Tim. I'm struggling with the fourth pick in the ninth round of a guy that tremendous opportunity, but he might not be up until June. We don't know what kind of games the Atlanta Braves are going to play, and I'm struggling with that pick. I'm sorry.
Well, I am as well. I get it. Because if you want him, that's simply where you're going to have to buy from. The market is going to dictate that. But at the same point in time, does that mean the market is right? And I think it's wrong. If we heard today that Acuna is going to start day one with the Atlanta Braves on the big league team, on the active roster, yeah, okay, I can go for it. But like you said, if they want to play, Atlanta's not winning anything this year. They're not winning anything for a couple of years out. If they want that extra year, they can sit them at Triple A and get that extra year, can't they? And from a business point of view, you can't fault them, can you?
No, I mean, at best, he's coming up, let's call it May 1st, or kind of the Chris Bryant train, which was the 23rd of April or something. Like, that's the best that you can hope for with Acuna. But the Cubs were good. That's why they brought up Chris Bryant, and they had, you know, Boris there screaming at him, like, you know, stop playing games with my client. It was very, it was very public. I've heard nothing like that about Acuna. I don't even know who his agent is.
Well, he's 20 years old.
That's right.
You know, you take a look. How many at-bats does he have at Double and Triple A? Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be a great player, but, man, there's a ton of risk there. You know, even the best of the best, Mike Trout, struggled in his first go-round in the majors. You might, even if Acuna is up optimistically at the three-week mark, he could have a dreadful first half. There's no promises this kid is going to be Mike Trout reincarnate right from the get-go. No promises. The odds are very small, actually, really.
Yeah, so it's interesting. He got 221 at-bats in both. Actually, interesting, Double A and Triple A. Kind of strange, the exact same number of at-bats. He turned 20 years old in December. So let's play the game here. Let's say he gets on March 31st, whenever the season begins, at age 20, let's just say he starts, and he's got 6 years of team control. So that's 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. He will be a free agent at 26, a young 26 years old. And let's say he's going to be as good as everybody advertised. I mean, that's the Bryce Harper equation. So you're talking and people are talking $400 or $500 million for Bryce Harper. So that's the kind of mathematics we're talking about, Timmy, and why they'll probably at least keep him down to May 1st, if not going for that arbitration.
Well, yeah, and when you look at the team concept that the Braves are building around, they've got, 14 ace starting pitchers, all at, high A, double A? They're all, a year, 2 years away for the most part. Why do they want to burn time on Acuna right now when the rest of the team that they're building around isn't going to arrive for 2 years? That just doesn't make sense, does it really?
He could come up and play beginning of the year and could be rookie of the year, probably will be if he starts, and it could happen. But what we're telling everybody is there's more reasons than not to start him in the minor leagues. And just be careful where you draft him. If you got to have him on your team, then by all means, go grab him. But just know that there's tremendous risk. And I take a look at the outfield. And Nick Markakis is going to play in right. Ender Inciarte will play in center field. And the left field is open for him. Preston Tucker, Dustin Peterson, and Jeff Decker, according to RotoWorld, are the top three. So you have to believe they're going to bring in one of the 85 free agents that are still left out there that will cost them $3 or $4 million. That's who they're going to get to play left field.
Well, yeah, unless they give Tucker an opportunity. He had a pretty massive year at AAA last year. There's some potential there. There's another deep sleeper if you're looking at, in redraft leagues. If Tucker wins the job, I think he had close to 30 home runs last year down on the farm. Pretty impressive year.
Well, I had 24 home runs, 96 RBIs. Playing in Fresno. So again, the PCL a little inflated there, but when he came up with Houston, played okay. Obviously the older brother of Kyle Tucker, he does turn 27. So it's time to put up or shut up for Preston Tucker.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. But again, just another deep option. You know what I mean? There's an opening, right? And where there's an opening, who knows how it's going to be filled.
Today, let's take a quick break. And we get back, let's talk outfield.
Sounds good, Rich.
So obviously, Timmy, it was pitchers and catchers reported this week, and three things I want to talk about. Two things, and just word association. Matt Kemp losing 41 pounds.
He's not wearing jewelry this year?
Okay, you got to be clever. So I looked at, he was not taken in labor last week. Does this make him at all interesting, or you're like, nah?
If I've got a choice to cut Charlie Tilson for Matt Kemp right now, I'm going to stick with Tilson, Rick.
Wow, no love for Matt Kemp. I kind of, call me a softy, Timmy. It kind of piques my interest a little bit for a last two or three rounds of a draft.
Are they even going to hold on to him in L.A., though? That's the big question, because the big rumor is they don't want that money. They might just cut him loose, right? He might be looking for a job.
Yeah, they could, but I think they're trying to get somebody to take his money. That's going to be interesting to see if that plays out. I think if he doesn't look spry to me, they could. But, with losing 41 pounds is significant. And quite frankly, if you lost that much weight, you had a lot of weight to lose. So
that was my other comment after the jewelry, Rich. Okay.
Yeah, I can't lose 41 pounds, that's for sure. But if you had to lose that much weight, you got a lot of weight to lose. The second thing, Timmy, I don't know if you saw the Shohei Ohtani interview this afternoon on MLB TV. It was at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock your time. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. But Alan Cervantes, presented a very, very nice update on it. So I caught most of the highlights of it. Yeah. What were your thoughts, Rich?
I was horrified, Timmy. So the first question is, like, how are you adjusting to United States and the team and so forth? He goes, oh, good. You know, I'm playing golf, which I, okay, great. And I'm also playing basketball with the guys. I'm like, oh my God, what are you playing basketball for? Like, people can really hurt themselves playing basketball. And I'm like, is Mike Trout playing basketball? I don't want Mike Trout playing basketball. I mean, like, why is any Major League Baseball player playing basketball, Timmy? That's, to me, that they're, unless it's horse, no good can come from 5-on-5 basketball.
No, I would have to think that they're tossing the ball around is probably a more apt description.
I don't think
they're going 5-on-5 with elbows up. No, that ain't happening.
No, yeah. I was working. I looked up and I said, I couldn't concentrate, Tim. I'm like, this is not good because, as you know, I traded in a dynasty league. I'm going to pick Shohei Ohtani first in one of our leagues, and I know you have him on a team, and you just picked Mike Trout. I do not want the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim playing basketball. I don't want Albert Pujols with chronic plantar fasciitis playing basketball. Golf is okay.
No.
Basketball is not.
No. No, I also heard that Mike Socha put his foot down rather abruptly and said, no, Mr. Ohtani, you are not going to be sliding headfirst into second base. And apparently Ohtani's okay with that.
Okay, that's good. The other thing, I don't know if you heard that Socha also said that he was going to go with a 6-man rotation. What do you think of that?
I got no problems with that if he's got 6 quality guys he can roll out there.
Well, quality is probably the key. He's got 6 guys he can roll out there. It's pretty deep. It's a pretty deep rotation, but guys that have been chronically injured are the Tyler Skaggs of the world, the Andrew Heaneys of the world, Garrett Richards. I mean, those are 3 guys with Tommy John surgery. I don't think Garrett Richards ever had Tommy John surgery. Probably should have, but all those other guys have had it. And Shohei Ohtani with an elbow issue already, and you know Parker Bridwell's out there. I mean, is he really that good? So it's quality is probably the right word, Tim.
Well, you know what? It's fine right now, okay, to say you're going with a 6-man rotation, but the first starter that hits a DL, it could be converted to a 5-man rotation fairly quickly. Does that just sound about right?
Yeah, it could, and it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll help Ohtani, particularly as he eases his way into Major League Baseball. It might hurt his innings pitched and his counting stats as a pitcher, but it might keep him healthier, Timmy, and it might make him a better pitcher since that's what he's used to in Japan.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. The kid's got an amazing amount of skill, and I just hope that health-wise he holds up. I really hope for his sake, for the Angels' sake, for our sake, because he's that much of a talent, Rich. I just hope he maintains health.
People need to remember, as you're thinking about, plunking down money in an auction or taking him early in a draft, 23 innings he pitched last year, Tim. So this is a guy that was hurt last year and already has, a sprained elbow. So just everybody, just buyer beware.
Well, yeah. Last year it was the ankle, and apparently that's all been fixed and ready to go. So at least last year it wasn't an arm injury. If it was, he probably wouldn't be. He wouldn't have got the attention he did in the off season.
The last thing I thought was interesting, Timmy, and I tweeted out about it, and I think you liked my tweet. And it was from Jake Kaplan, who's a writer for the beat writer for Houston. Writes, Astros pitcher David Paulino spoke to the media today for the first time since his 80-game PED suspension. Asked why he did it, he said, I was in a situation where I thought that my body wasn't responding and I needed to do something for my health and the ability to play baseball. Timmy, I looked at that and goes, finally, somebody just said, this is the reason I did it. This is why everybody does it, to try to get an advantage to play baseball, to try to stay healthy. And it was wrong.
Right.
I thought that was incredibly refreshing, and I thought that showed a lot of character. Not character to cheat and take PEDs in the first place, but to own up to it and say, look, I did it to try to help my body and make myself a better baseball player. Yeah, that's why everybody does it. Most people go, I didn't know. It was labeled something different, you know, whatever. It was a cream. Yeah. At least he owned up to it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was very refreshing that at least he told it the way it was. There was no BS. He was trying to stay healthy, get an edge. He fessed up to it, and I take my hat off to him. It's like all this stuff that we hear on a regular basis about best shape of my life and all the rest of that stuff, Rich. You know, I would love for once for a player, when asked, okay, about his off-season conditioning or whatever, I'd love for a player to say, well, you know what, I sat around with my buddies playing video games and swilling beer all winter, okay? I'm 40 pounds overweight. What's your point?
Eating,
to hear somebody actually say it?
Eating pizza with double cheese on it.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and not a care in the world.
Exactly. So, Timmy, I will tell you, most people never picked this up when I did my rankings of prospects. I actually had David Polino ranked in my top 100, which I'm pretty sure I was the only person that had that. And I will tell you the reason I did it. And it was interesting that this came out because I have a really good contact that helps me, Timmy. A lot of people help me. And when the David Polino thing came out, I was talking to him. I actually physically was talking to him. And I said, well, what's going on with him? And they go, you know, he made a mistake. He's a good kid. And I mean, just went on about his character. I said, but yeah, he cheated. I know he cheated, but this is a good kid with a great arm. And, you know, basically the Astros knew they were really, really disappointed. But when I came out with my list, he wasn't on it. And the guy said, look, I'm telling you, this is a good kid. Give him a second chance. And I said, okay. So I put him in there. And I'm hoping that this little interview he did was an indication of what I heard, where somebody said, this is a kid of high character, even though he cheated. The person said he was one of the more remorseful people that they had ever seen, you know, who had been found guilty. And so that's why I did it, Timmy, because I know he's got a great arm. And he fell off everybody else because of the cheat. So we'll see if I'm right and this guy who advised me was right. Can't tell you who it is, Timmy, but
Well, no, I wouldn't even bother to ask because I know the answer already, Rich. But it supports that discussion that you had, whether it had been a month or 2 months ago, whenever. It sort of supports what we heard today, doesn't it?
Yep.
Like you said, and that counts.
I agree, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. I wanted to bring that up. So, Timmy, let's talk some prospects. Or not prospects. Let's talk some outfielders. Oh, man, I just realized I don't have – let me go over to your list here. Where is it?
If you don't have the list handy, I can tell you right now, Rich, all of my ADPs are the same as the NFBC.
Okay. let me bring it up here. Just a second here, Timmy, as I bring this up. I guess I could. All right. I saved. Okay. So we left off, I think, Timmy, with 50. Is that where we went through with the top 50?
Yeah, somewhere in that range. Yeah. There's a few swings
here,
Rich.
Yeah. So there's some very, I guess, there's the Yasmani Tomas. This is all coming back to me now. Tim loves Yasmani Tomas and, of course, did not draft him in the NFBC team. Very disappointed, Timmy.
I know. But you know what? In my heart, I drafted Ozzy Albies twice, so that's got to count, right?
I said NFBC, and I meant to say the labor, and I just lost the labor, so I didn't even know where he went. So anyway, let's start with the 51. Let me just read off 20 names here, Timmy, really quickly. 51, we start with Brett Gardner, then Delino DeShields, Hunter Renfroe, Jackie Bradley Jr., Kyle Schwarber, Mark Trumbo, Eric Thames, Odubel Herrera, Willie Calhoun at 59, Corey Dickerson at 60, Michael Taylor, Abisal Garcia, Randall Grichuk, Jose Martinez, Aaron Hicks at 65, Chris Owings at 66, Max Kepler at 67, Shin-Soo Chu at 68, Nick Williams at 69, and what I found interesting, Timmy, very, very interesting, Cole Calhoun at 70, basically how many slots, 10, 11 slots lower than the other Calhoun, Willie Calhoun, who hasn't even played in the major leagues yet. So I found that to be fascinating. Tell me what you're thinking with some of those picks, particularly Hunter Renfro. You like Hunter Renfro 23 picks more than the NFBC.
Well, I think Renfro's got 30 plus home run power, and obviously the folks drafting in the NFBC right now don't. I think the power is real. I think the batting average is going to be a struggle, but I'm willing to move Hunter Renfro up because A, I think he's got a job, and B, I think he's going to do what he does well.
You also like Jackie Bradley Jr. You also like Jackie Bradley Jr. a lot. Another high character guy, and a guy that was I don't know if you saw this. He tweeted out when he was put on the all overrated team by Yahoo. He favored that post, and I thought that was fantastic. So it's like, okay, I'll show you.
Nice shot. I like that too. The other guy that I'm way higher than the NFBC is Randall Grichuk in Toronto, and I don't know how many drafts were before he got traded to Toronto, and I don't know how much that plays in the NFBC love hate or my love hate, but I think Grichuk in Toronto has got 35 home run potential, and I'm not going to be shy about admitting it. I just did, and I think he's going to significantly out-earn his draft slot this year.
I don't think he controls the strike zone. I think he bats 220 with a chance to be sent down. That's my alternative. I've never been a big fan of Grichuk. No denying the 80 grade raw. No denying it at all. Or maybe double plus. Maybe he doesn't have 80 grade, but no denying that. I just don't know if he'll hit enough.
Joey Gallo light. How's that?
Yeah, that's fair. Joey Gallo walks a lot, so at least in on-base percentage league, okay, you give him a little boost. I mean, Grichuk doesn't walk; he strikes out a ton.
Well, yeah, that's why I don't have him like Gallo, a top 10 player, though. Eh?
Kyle Schwarber, Timmy, do you draft? I know you've got him listed at 54, so you're saying, okay, yeah, he's acceptable as a fifth outfielder. Gets a little bit more love from me in an on-base percentage league. The question is he ever going to hit enough, or was last year an anomaly and this guy's really a 250, 260 hitter, or is he truly a 330 on base percentage and a 210 batting average guy?
Until he proves it to me otherwise, I'm going with the 210, 330 option, Rich.
That's not good, Timmy. I mean, it's just not good because a ton of talent. And again, another high character guy, but man, it's in a traditional league like you were playing in with labor. That's a tough guy to own.
Well, yeah, it is. But, you know, the one good thing about Schwarber is, you know, what he lacks in batting average and what he doesn't bring to the game there, he does bring defense.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. So I'm looking at that's very funny, Timmy. So looking at last year, he was a 211 batting average, a 244 BABIP. So you think that's he's slow, but he hits the ball hard. So you have to think that that's going to improve a little bit. But man, if the Cubs do what they did last year with him, and the reason he can kill your team, batting him up one or two in the batting lineup, the batting order, gets him a lot more at bats. If it's on base percentage league, that's okay because he's going to have an on base of 320, 330. Otherwise, he's going to just kill your batting average because he's going to have so many plate appearances out there, and it's just going to overweight him.
Right. Who has a better batting average at the end of the year, Hunter Renfro or Kyle Schwarber?
I think Hunter Renfro by a smidge. Hunter Renfro can't control the strike zone either. He doesn't walk at all. So.
No. They're very much the same player as well, aren't they? There's a lot of players like that in the game today, isn't there, Rich? 30 to 40 home run power.
I would think Hunter Renfro reminds me a little of Randall Grichuk. A little bit.
Yeah. No, that's a good comp. Yeah.
Country strong and bat speed not so great, but and can't control the strike zone. I mean, that's who he is. Willie Calhoun, Timmy, I love Willie Calhoun. I really, really do. I think I like the fact that you have him 59. Let's call it 60. You know, so you're saying that he's potentially draftable in a as one of your outfielders. When do you think we see him?
Right from the get-go. I think he's going to start. He's going to start March 27th or 28th, whenever opening day is, and he's going to be there. And I like Calton. I really do. Or else, I just simply did a typo and flipped Willie and Cole by mistake. No, I like Willie. Sorry.
But what happened to Cole, Timmy? I mean, yeah, you got him at 70. NFC's got him at 73. I mean, so you, and they've actually got him. You got Willie Calhoun. He's being drafted. Willie Calhoun's gone before Cole Calhoun. What happened to Cole? I mean, he had those two or three really good years, and he just fell off.
Well, yeah, he's sort of at a, like in a 15 team league, he's your fifth outfielder. That's basically what you're looking at. I you're looking at 2070, 2075, and today in today's game, a power game, 2075 is a fifth outfielder. That's all he is, and I don't think the upside is there to see anything significantly above that. Plays great D. He's not Justin Hayward, so it's not like he's relegated to a bench with no potential. But I think he is what he is right now, Rich, and are you going to take a chance for your sixth outfielder if you're playing an outfield heavy strategy on a Cole Calhoun or Austin Hayes, Lewis Brinson?
Austin Hayes. I'm going Austin Hayes. I don't know about Lewis Brinson. I love Lewis Brinson. Another high character, high quality guy. I mean, he scares me a little bit. I think he's Keon Broxton with more upside. I think he's going to strike out a ton still. I think when it all clicks, he could be Carlos Gomez. I think he has that kind of upside.
Right.
It still worries me a little bit. He is getting to be 24 years old, so it's time to do it. It's time to see him. You know he's going to get the at-bats, but he could also bat 240. So I think that there's some worry there.
Well, and that's one of the things when you look at the outfield as a whole, there's a lot of question marks and a lot of warts on a lot of players. Once you get about 10 outfielders in, does that sound reasonable? There's a lot of question marks.
We're at 60, and there's tons, 60, 70, which are guys that you have to draft in a 15-team, five outfield league, which is the more popular, and you're picking up some of these guys. And let's keep going, Timmy. We finished up at where were we at 70? So just Michael Brantley, Aaron Althier, Austin Hayes at 73, Lewis Brinson, David Peralta, Albert Almora, Ben Gamble, Scott Schebler at 78, Denard Span at 79, Hunter Pence. There's Matt Kemp at 81, Para Pilar, Jorge Soler. Like your thoughts on there? Curtis Granderson, Derek Fisher, Mickey Matuk, Stephen Biscotti, Matt Joyce, Austin Hayes, and those are kind of all the way down through 90. Tell me your thoughts on a couple guys, Scott Schebler and Jorge Soler.
I think it's last chance saloon for Soler, and if he wasn't in Kansas City, he probably wouldn't be getting that last kick at the can. It's now or never. I think his career is going to be defined in the first 2 months of this coming season. Schebler, power, again, we're looking at questionable batting average. Slump by Schebler, and we could see a prospect coming up. And that's my concern with Schebler, is the fact that they got somebody chomping at the bit Winker? Or is he 38? Uh-huh. I mean, get the two of them confused. But, he's chomping at the bit. And if there's any struggles at a Schebler, I think he could find himself riding the pine.
Yeah. I think you could be right. And I think you could be right there. But I do like the power of Schebler, and I do think you're absolutely 100% right on, and even on the timing on Jorge Soler. If he blows, Timmy, and just goes off into the sunset without doing anything, it would be a huge disappointment by how much money the Cubs paid for him coming out of Cuba and what the promise was. And it's just remarkable. Apparently he's lost some weight. I don't know if that'll help. It can't hurt, but it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Well, yeah, I've got Curtis Granderson a lot higher than the NFBC, and part of the reason for that is he's going to play full time, I think, and I'll take the full time. I'll take the full time at bats with the low batting average and potential for 25 to 30 home runs in Toronto over a player that might not be playing.
I started Curtis Granderson, Timmy. He had a horrible April, but I picked him up in a league in May, June, and I played him for a good 2 or 3 months in the middle of the year, and I won that league, Timmy, and Curtis Granderson helped. He had a really good middle part of the year. Lots of home runs. His batting average was reasonable. He played well. He was terrible beginning of the year and terrible at the end of the year, but that middle was really good.
Yeah, and he's heading to Toronto. He's going to get the at-bats, so why not?
So, Timmy, we're going to make a gentleman's bet here, or this is a steak and liquor bet. You are going to do it. I've got Mitch Haniger at number 95. the NFBC has taken him at 52. You hate Mitch Haniger. I think you're completely wrong. I want you to tell me, first of all, tell me why you hate Mitch Haniger.
Well, I just don't like it. I don't think there's anything there. I think the batting average is mediocre. The power is mediocre. The RBIs, he's not going to hit in a real great spot. Five letters sum up my opinion on Mitch Haniger, and he's probably too low. I probably dissed him a little bit too hard. I should have had him two slots below Charlie Tilson. How's that? Bleah.
Okay. All right, Timmy. So here it is. I know you're going to say done like dinner because I'm going to make this so appealing for you. And I'll give you two choices, Mr. McLeod.
Mm.
And we'll go by, if you're okay, we'll go by Baseball HQ at the end of the year, dollar value.
Okay.
You can pick either your buddy. Let's see. I just lost the names here. Randall Greichick. You can have him or Hunter Renfro. Pick your poison against my Mitch Haniger.
Hunter Renfro, done like dinner.
I knew you would. Old sucker bet there, Timmy. Done like dinner. All right. I got Mitch Haniger. You got Hunter Renfro, who has the most dollar amount based on base by Q at the end of the year. Timmy, I lured you into my cavern, and you just took the bait. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, no hesitation. No,
I know.
For a bet, Rich, you know that.
I know. We'll see. Great Tim McLeod or the scrappy Rich Wilson. We'll see who comes out on top there. All right, Timmy. So let's go back here to the top. So, and then we'll wrap up the show. The top 15 again. Let's just Trout, Blackman, Betts, Stanton, Harper, Martinez, Bellinger, Judge, Springer, Upton, Benintendi, Ozuna, Reese, Hoskins, Tommy Pham, Christian Yelich. That's where it ends. Christian Yelich. Give me one or two of those guys who you think have the best chance of not finishing in the top 15 next year.
George Springer.
Wow. I'm surprised at that. Tell me more, Tim.
Well, we've been saying for years that George Springer is Crispy Young.
Yeah. Crispy Young, yep.
Yeah, right. We've been saying he's going to be Crispy. Well, you know what? You look at his numbers. Okay, he's not running. Okay, what happens if he hits 20 home runs next year, drives in 60, and that just loses just a tick off that bat speed, Rich, which we know he survives and thrives on. Okay. I'm still going with my Crispy Young prediction at some point in time. So. Why not toss it out there right now? I think he could plummet at some point in time, and I don't own him anywhere, and I don't intend to.
So, Timmy, I think I was the one that might have put the Crispy Young idea into your head. I think I might have been wrong there. I think that George Springer is better than Chris Young, just to go on record. I could have been wrong there, but I appreciate the boldness in the pick. He is not running. You're absolutely correct. Plays on a really, really good team, though, and that bat speed is going to be there for a while. So it's a bold pick to me. I love it. Give me another guy.
Wow, Justin Upton. Last year was the first time he showed up for a full 6 months. What happens if he doesn't show up for another 2 months, which we've seen out of him repeatedly over the years? You know, what happens if he's batting 170 at the end of May? Well, you know, it's Justin Upton has been known to have wild swings on a month-to-month basis, and I'll go with Upton, just in case he reverts back to prior form.
I agree with you, Timmy. I've owned Justin Upton in too many leagues, and I've just gotten burned with him. He's really on my do not draft list, and it's totally an emotional position there, Timmy, just because he's burned me so many times.
Well, and that's fair enough, because we all have those players, definitely. Scott Baker.
Yeah, I know. I got that. All right, Timmy, those two players will be replaced by who in the top 15 as we're doing this podcast next Valentine's Day? Who is going to replace those guys?
Easy. Byron Buxton, Nomar Mazzaro.
You're so great, Timmy. This is I knew when I was going to be Nomar Mazzaro. I knew that. I do love your Byron Buxton. I think he could leapfrog over a lot of these guys, or he might not, Timmy. I mean, it's he's that high risk boom or bust. I don't know if bust is the right word, but he could just. I mean, he's got more talent than probably. I think the only two guys that have more talent above him is probably Trout and Betts. I mean, he could be that good. We might not. So,
yeah, exactly. But the other guy that really concerns me that I won't own anywhere is Bryce Harper.
Mentioned him last week.
But 21 stolen bases, 4 stolen. Do you really know what you're getting with Bryce Harper? He's the type of guy that you're paying for a ceiling that is Mike Troutish, but it's never been delivered upon, has it?
Well, it was delivered upon a couple of years, Timmy. The year he won the Rookie of the Year was delivered upon. And did he win an MVP? Did he win an MVP, Timmy? I can't recall.
Yeah, I think it was for attempting to strangle his closer. No, just kidding. I can't remember.
I can't remember either, but let's go to the baseball reference, shall we? Bryce Harper. Let's see. And there was one year where he hit 45 home runs and batted 340 or something like that.
Runs, yeah.
So MVP.
He won the numbers.
He won the MVP in 2015.
Yeah. Okay.
So he. And what?
He's all over the place. Do you really know what you're getting with Bryce Harper?
I mean, that's fair. So just so you know, 42 home runs that year, batted 330 with a 1109 OPS and 6 stolen bases. Weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Then the next year he goes with 21 stolen bases in 2016, back to 4. So really the outlier is the 21 stolen bases with 10 caught stealing. That's the outlier. So he is not that guy. The problem is, and I'm looking at his stat line and remembering, the 42 home runs the outlier, because it's been 22, 20, 13, 42, 24, 29.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you told me right now that Bryce Harper is going to hit 40 home runs with a 300 average, driving 120 with 20 stolen bases, I would say, okay, sure. And if you told me that Bryce Harper was going to hit 32 home runs with 95 RBIs, a 275 batting average, and 3 stolen bases, I'd say, okay, fine. I can't argue with either one, Rich. Really, I can't.
I would be surprised if he steals a lot of bases. I would be also surprised if he hits less than 30 home runs, though he's only hit over 30 home runs once in his career. I do think he'll walk a lot, because he's got 19, 17.2, 13.8 walk percentage. And he's always going to have a pretty good batting average, because he controls the strike zone. He doesn't strike out that much. So I think the batting average on base percentages are there. I think 30 home runs is there. I don't think the stolen bases are there. So you're paying for 4 out of the 5 categories.
Do you take Mookie Betts or Bryce Harper?
I take Mookie Betts.
Yeah, as do I. I take Giancarlo Stanton as well.
I take Bryce Harper. Wait a minute. Let me think about that. Giancarlo Stanton in Yankee Stadium, even though he's a righty, he's going to hit 10 home runs that would be foul, that would be pop-ups. You know, it would be if he doesn't hit 50 home runs, there should be an investigation. If he gets 600 plate appearance or 550 plate appearance and doesn't hit 50 home runs, there should be some kind of investigation. Don't you agree?
Well, how many did he hit in Miami with the dancing dolphin in center field? Like, if he can hit that many, what do you, 59, 54 or 9 last year? I can't even remember. But if he can hit that many in Miami, he should be able to hit 60 in Yankee Stadium.
So, yeah, so if we say that Giancarlo Stanton and Bryce Harper are similar power guys, in similar stolen base guys, even though so Stan, I'm looking last year only had 259 home runs. I mean, you nailed that. 692 plate appearances. Wow. But similar power. Bryce Harper has got a better hit tool, slightly better hit tool. But if you throw in Yankee Stadium and the chance for 20% more home runs just because of Yankee Stadium, I think you got to go with Stanton. So I think I go Stanton there over Harper.
Well, you know, if, assuming peak years, Stanton's got 15 home runs on him. 15 home runs is one middle infielder, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, Stanton was hurt the two previous years. Hurt.
Right.
470 plate appearances, still hit 27 home runs. 318 plate appearances in 2015, hit 27 home runs. That's just insane.
He's a monster. There is, you can say what you want about Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge does not have the power that Mike Stanton does. Giancarlo Stanton. No, he just doesn't. Stanton is the man by which all are measured by his power. In pure power, as far as I'm concerned, Rich.
I would agree with that, but boy, Aaron Judge ain't far away. Aaron Judge is—they're both massive men. I think Judge is a bigger man than Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton's got better bat speed and just might be a little bit more muscular, maybe a little stronger. But that Judge is a monster. That's just a big, big dude.
Yeah, you want to take a stake in liquor bet? He hits less than 40 home runs this year, Rich.
Ooh. Timmy, really?
Yep.
Wait a minute. Okay, so how about he has to, if assuming no major injury, so let's say that he gets at least 550 plate appearances, no way he hits less than 40 home runs.
We're going to have a real good meal here. We are.
Okay. All right. So we're done like dinner on that one?
Yes, we are. Yeah. We're going to have a scorekeeper soon to keep track of all these, Rich.
Well, isn't Alan supposed to do that, right? So that's his contribution to the
I'll track the whip and get him working on it, Rich. How's that?
We'll be 2 months into the season. We'll go, what was that bet again? None of us remember.
I won't even give it 2 months, Rich. Next week.
Okay, Timmy. So let's just close this up. Give me a couple of guys. You can go deep as you want. You got 150 names here. It's an amazing list. Give me a couple of guys in that, 70 to 100 that you really, really like that are sleepers, and then guys that are just really deep that you like. Watch out for this guy.
Charlie Tilson.
Are you serious?
Come on. I had to throw that one out there, Rich. Looking deep. If Charlie Tilson gets a full-time job, he could steal 30 bases. No, I was just having fun there. Derek Fisher is one. Derek Fisher has potential to move up in a huge way. Austin Hayes is another player that has that same sort of potential. Going way, way deep. You should have taken that offer when you had it, Rich, because Leonis Martin could well best his 97 placing on the list. How's that?
Who does he sign with? I don't even know. Does he have a team? Detroit.
Detroit, full-time job, center fielder.
Yeah, well, there you go. I took him a year too early. There was a name here.
He's going to get full-time at best. So he could, in that park, he could hit 10 to 15 home runs and steal 30 bases, which is great value.
So unless Bryce Harper gets injured, Timmy, but maybe even if he gets injured, how in the world does Victor Robles get any playing time in Washington? Because Adam Eaton's in center field. You got Michael Taylor, the fourth outfielder there. I mean, how does he get any playing time?
He doesn't, which is why I'm not drafting.
They got Brian Goodwin. They got Brian Goodwin, too, who's probably the fifth outfielder.
Yeah, it's Victor Robles will – my prediction on Robles this year is unless there is an injury, he's going to play all year at AAA, and he'll get a September call-up exactly the same as he did last year. There's just no room at the end. There's no open spots there. Right now he's the fifth outfielder. Do they want him sitting on the bench in Washington as the fifth outfielder, or do they want him down on the farm gaining more experience? I don't think Robles is a factor in our game until 2019.
Totally agree with you. He's only 20 years old, Timmy. He'll be 21 in May. So you're saying in 2019, he'll start the season probably on May 1st or thereabout. He will be Bryce Harper's replacement in left field. Maybe Adam Eaton will be moved by that point. Robles is a good center fielder at 21 years old. Very young, and that's when he's going to play. I agree. It's got to be multiple injuries for him to get the call up, I think. And unless Adam Eaton has another freak injury, I mean, you got Taylor and Goodwin to go through, too, before you see Robles. So Goodwin played very well last year down the stretch. So the guy's got talent.
Yeah, he does. I can remember seeing him in the Arizona Fall League, and I really liked what I saw. And then he sort of disappeared off the radar totally. I think he sat for like 3 years in double A, and it just didn't go anywhere. But I liked what I saw in Arizona. I liked the wheels. I thought he was an excellent defender.
You're absolutely right.
Disappeared off the radar. Gone.
Yeah, he was injured a lot. He can never make enough contact, and he couldn't control the show. It was all those kinds of things. And, you know, he doesn't have a chance to start over the three guys who are there now, but maybe one day he'll get traded and have an opportunity. But he's probably a fourth, fifth outfielder. That's probably going to be his career. But I agree. I always like the skills as well. Timmy, it's a great list. You did a tremendous job with it. Well done. I know you did DHs, but Timmy, I'm worn out. So it's 10:45 here, so we're going to call it a night. But
that we are, Rich.
So again, great job on the labor draft. I hope it works out for you. You got Tout coming up when?
I'm in New York March 17th.
Okay, so St. Patrick's Day. Oh wow, New York and St. Patrick's Day is pretty crazy, Timmy. So just so you know.
The thing I like is that the hotel I'm staying at is right downtown. It's 5 minutes to the ferry, okay, and across to Staten Island. I can get back to the hotel and I can hide. How's that?
So are you staying in Staten Island or Manhattan?
Manhattan, but it's only a 5 minute walk to the Staten Island ferry from the hotel.
Oh, okay, but where's the draft? You're not going to Staten Island, are you?
Yes, the draft is on Staten Island at the home of, not the Ducks, the Yankees affiliate.
Ballpark. That's great. I mean, Timmy, I've been to that ballpark many times, the Staten Island. It's the Staten Island Yankees. And the views of Manhattan are beautiful. It's just it's a nice little stadium and just really great views. It's right there at the ferry. You're absolutely right. So, not the greatest neighborhood. It's one lap around the Walmart for you. So that's about what it is. I'll do it.
That's one of the reasons I picked the hotel in Manhattan where I picked it is because I can park my car, I don't have to worry about it, and anywhere I go from there is not far. So it's worth it to me to have that luxury, Rich, where I don't have to hop a cab for half an hour or whatever. You know, I can get on the ferry and cruise past the Statue of Liberty and Enjoy my
now,
breakfast.
Timmy, now, hang on here, Tim. Tim, see, your geography's all messed up. Unfortunately, the Statue of Liberty is nowhere close to the tip of Manhattan. You're not going to go that way, so you're going to go to Staten Island. So you got to go the other way. I'm sorry.
Like, so I'm not going to get a close-up picture, is what you're saying.
You might be able to see it as you're going to Staten Island if you're on the right side. What is that, the starboard side or something? If you can look to the right, you might be able to see it off in the distance, but you're not going to actually go up to it. Now, as you're getting on the Staten Island Ferry, you're going to see huge lines for everybody going to the Statue of Liberty. Don't go there.
Right.
don't get in that line. Get in the Staten Island Ferry line.
Thanks, Rich. I've actually been up the Statue of Liberty many, many years ago. Actually, when I was there, you could actually go up in the
crown.
If I'm not
in the
mistaken,
crown.
You could go, yeah, well, you could go to the crown. You could also, I think you could also go up partway into the arm, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
That's how long
it
was.
Yeah, I think they only allow you, because we just took some relatives there. I think it was a couple of years ago, and you can only go to the base of it now. So you go up, you know, some elevators so you've got the ground level, then you got the base up to where she is. That's where you can go.
Right.
You couldn't go up. I don't think we could go up into the – I don't think they allow you to go to the crown anymore.
Yeah, I remember being in the crown and looking out the observation deck. I remember that. I don't remember going up the torch. It might have been closed, but I do remember going all the way up the crown because you had to walk. It was like scaffolding inside there.
Yeah, it's probably why they don't let you do that. Don't let you do that anymore. So yeah, I don't know. But the Staten Island Ferry is cool, and you have a great time there. But just make sure you give yourself plenty of time. But the stadium, you can't miss it, Tim. You get off of it; it's right to the right. It's literally 50 yards, if that much. It's right there.
Yeah. Apparently they've got the clubhouse and a couple of the other facilities. They've got two or three rooms in the actual facility that they're using. So that's sort of cool, eh?
Yeah, it's really cool. That's awesome. It's better than doing it in a hotel ballroom. I mean, that's kind of a cool setting. Okay, Mr. McLeod, as usual, great fun Wednesday night. What better thing to do than talk about outfielders?
Well, I really can't think of anything, Rich. I think you nailed it. And on that note, I'll check for the flowers tomorrow that I didn't get today. And you have yourself a great rest of the week. And looking forward to podcast mock night on Sunday.
Absolutely. We'll see everybody 8:00 sharp. We've got a 2-hour mock draft, which is Tim and my favorite podcast of the year, because all we do is call names out. So.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? All of my friends here, okay, especially everybody that I meet at Walmart, they love it, okay, when it's podcast mock night, because they know for 2 or 3 days before that, I'll be quiet. I won't be saying anything because I need to save my voice up. So somebody
absolutely
does like podcast mock draft night.
There you
be
go,
well,
Timmy.
My friend.
Be well.